Hello, hello, everyone. Super pumped, as usual. Honestly, I say that every single day, but really, like, I have the best people in my network, and I'm just so happy and thankful for that. So today on the 99 Dev Problem Show, we have Flo. Flo, I'd love for you to introduce yourself and just tell us a little bit about you.
So hello, everyone, and happy new year. I'm Flo from France, and in short, I have 10 years of work experience as a founder, a VC, and more recently, an individual contributor. I worked my entire career with technical agencies, so developers, engineers, PhDs, you name it, and I love doing this. So recently, I was marketer in real great the first companies like Clerk, like Minlify, and more recently I co-founded a community of DevTool founders and marketers. So we have more than now 2,000 community members, people from awesome the first companies like Algolia, Vercel, Superbase. They're all in. And also, I started working on launchweek.dev, a place where you can discover new developer products and find inspiration, hopefully.
I love it. I love everything that you said. You are doing such awesome work. We got to chat about Launch Week quite a bit before we got on the stream. And I'm really, really, really excited about Launch Week. I think, like you had shared, like Product Hunt obviously has grown and evolved, and it's still a great, beautiful place to go find lots of new, awesome tools and products. But when you're in the specific developer tool space and trying to launch, right, it's really difficult to sort of get that level of awareness you could get from Product Hunt when there's all these other products around. And I thought that was just such a beautiful sentiment that you had shared previously. And so I'm so excited for Launch Week. I think a lot of my clients will really enjoy Launch Week, and I think it has a really beautiful future. So launchweek.dev for anyone who's like, wait, what are they talking about? What is Launch Week? Any questions, definitely reach out to Flo. If you don't know how to reach out to Flo, I will connect you. So diving in, I just wanted to obviously drop that little pitch there. What's your developer education in terms of like sort of what you, how you kind of have built the technical chops that you have today?
Honestly, with launchweek.dev, I really wanted to ship fast. So I was familiar with Minify, Next.js based platform for documentation sites, and that worked pretty much with the idea of that I had for launchweek.dev. I really wanted this product a documentation site, so that both lists the different past and upcoming launch weeks, and also work on the content. So nothing big here. It's mostly powered by Minify. So Next.js based platform, and then it's mostly JSON and Markdown. But you know, I wanted also something to ship fast, and so that's why I started very simply.
I love that. Okay, let me reframe the question because I made it sound like I was talking about Launch Week's developer education, but I'm curious more about you and like your formal education, if you are self-taught or if you have a college degree or anything in that regard. But honestly, that's very exciting information.
Yeah.
Also.
So it's, I would say it's a combination of both. I mean, I started learning coding on my own. I was a teenager. I was doing like union activities, and I wanted a website for that union. And my brother, who was studying computer science, just introduced me to HTML and CSS. He started writing a few a few lines of code, HTML, head, body, and then he pushed it live, and it was on the web, and I was like, whoa, amazing, and this is basically how it started. And so then I started doing a lot of design, web design, and also web integration, and then I joined then I went to college to study computer science, but I dropped off in order to, I got bored with studies. So I went to the US to start my first company. And then went back to Europe to, it failed. So I went back to Europe and started another company. And then, well, story short, I had the opportunity to launch a nonprofit in order to back and fund more dev tools with funding, and that was a fantastic experience. And very good.
Oh my gosh, that is so fun. Okay, so two things super resonated with me. When you were sharing the HTML and CSS thing, that reminded me of, so I had this really fun experience, and I want to share this because it was just such a like beautiful thing. This was probably back in like 2017 or 2018. And I was living in the Minneapolis area. And so I was doing a lot with sort of local tech there, and had been a chapter leader for Girl Develop It, was teaching a lot of women to code. And someone actually presented an opportunity to me, and he's like, hey, they really need a program in South Minneapolis at a very, very diverse school, like an actual high school. And they're like, essentially how this high school operated, it was very low income, very, very diverse in terms of students, right? So there was a very heavy like African-American population, a very heavy like Hispanic population, very heavy Somalian population, but very low on sort of white Caucasian population. So to kind of paint that picture sort of in the US, right, you're looking at, unfortunately, you're looking at sort of a lower income school, right? And so in that school, they tried to offer a lot of after school curriculum because these kids were going home to no parents, no care, no one home, no one around. And so they were trying to keep the kids at the school for as long as possible. So I came in and started teaching them how to code. And I remember the first time that I went in there, I was like, okay, great. Like, you know, I didn't really know what I was doing. I had been teaching adults. Like, I understood kids fundamentally. I had little kids. And so I was like, okay. And they all sort of were just like in an uproar and like just acting sort of, I don't want to say like naughty, but that's kind of the right word. I can't think of the best word. They were not behaving. And I'm like, okay, I got to figure out how to like rein this in, right? I'm not a teacher. I don't know how to get high schoolers to behave. And so I'm like, okay, let's just check this out before we have to learn any of this technical stuff, because at the end of the day, they had to pick one of these after school things. And they were like, oh, learning to code is the least worst of all the options. Right. And so I basically was like, I got to do something. So I FTP'd a file up to the internet, like literally was like, boom, boom, boom. This is what we're going to write. I put a GIF on there. I was just goofy about it. I'm like, boom, it's on the internet. Go to this website. And they were like, wait, what? And then all of a sudden it was just like silence. And they're like, show us again. And it was like literally the trigger to get those kids to see that like coding was really cool. So I love that your brother did that, because that was in a moment of like, oh my gosh, I have to figure this out. I did the same, and it ended up like intriguing them about code. And it was so beautiful. I met so many cool kids. It was awesome. But nonetheless, I think it's such a cool way to be like, whoa, I can literally make the internet. So I also, second follow-up, dropped out of college because I just couldn't do it. I was bored. I can't stand lectures. I'm like, give me the thing and I'll solve it myself, or I'll do it. And that's my way. So it sounds like we're very, very relatable.
Yeah, I want to something concrete, right? Something tangible, something that I can touch and feel or at least I want to work on my own. That was the feeling I had.
Yes.
So that was now 15 years ago. But I remember that feeling. I was fortunate enough to have also an opportunity to go to the US to start that thing. And that was a fantastic experience.
Oh, I love that so much. Just want to say hey to David and Nick in the chat. They're both
hello.
All right. So you get to solve a lot of challenges. So thinking about sort of, well, let's walk through your day-to-day. Like, I know that your day-to-day has obviously shifted a bit. You did a lot of work with Launch Week last month. Really exciting stuff. If folks haven't seen it, again, go check it out. Really cool things got launched. But what is like your day-to-day look like today and sort of as you're diving into it?
So that's a good question. I think that, you know, right now I want to grow LaunchWeek.dev because I feel that for dev to founders and marketers, that's the right way to show your product and your dev tool to the world in a very efficient way. And so I'm exploring different stuff my day to day, and so what does it mean? It means that when I work on the product, so exploring different layouts and ways for people to discover those new products, and also work on, I think that there's a huge piece on content because there's not a lot of literature on that topic, and so I think that working on the content also is something that's part of my day-to-day job nowadays. And with that in mind, so that's the building part. There's also this this distribution part. It's making sure that I engage with the right people. Having fun on social platforms and on communities, again with that mindset of being as helpful as possible for all of them.
Yes. Oh, I love that so much. We got to talk about that in the pre-show about being as helpful as possible. And I honestly think we should chat about it because for me, and I'm sure that it's likely the same conversation, but giving back and helping and like creating that content, right, that you were speaking to about Launch Week, like that's the kind of stuff that brings in those natural opportunities. It brings in those roles. It brings in client work. It brings in new, beautiful relationships. So I'd love to hear, like, I'd love to just basically tap into that, right? Like, you feel very passionately about give. What's kind of your story behind that? Like, how do you see that coming to fruition and how has that happened for you?
Again, another very good question. I'm not really sure how to answer that.
I like asking loaded questions. So
honestly, I don't know where it started, how it started. Probably that it could be related with my story, with my developer education, because the web started as an open source project, right? It was a lot about being in the open, building in the open, and sharing the knowledge so it can spread all over the world.
Yes.
And I think that's a mindset that I'm loving, this idea of keeping things open, right? I had past experiences with blurred conversations and dark with dark patterns and so on. And I think that being open and transparent is so important to me, at least. And I think that's something that reflects when you give to the community, it also means being open. And when you try to, when you give, it also means that you can't have all the answers, right? But because you give, you just do your best to be as helpful as possible. And it doesn't mean you need to have the answer. It means that you create the right connections or at least, you just do your best to be helpful. And I think that ultimately that's those two stories are very related. So the origins of internet, this open source community, this open mindset, and I think that this could be very related to that give mindset when you think of community engagement.
Oh my gosh, I so agree. So that actually like has me questioning a couple things, and like not in a bad way, in a good way, but I'm sitting here thinking, and as I've been growing my business, right, and I feel like you probably can relate to this, is I've had so many people who are like, oh, just, I can help you. Just let me know how I can help. And I'm like, I don't want to ask someone for help if I'm not going to pay them. Right. And so it's been this very interesting thing where I'm like, oh, like it's fine. I can handle it, or I can do this, or whatever it might be. But then when given the opportunity, right, if I've done a developer event or I've posted something, instead they've chosen to be like, here, just let me go share, or they'll like go in and do something. And when I say they, I'm referring to developers. And so it's been very interesting for me to see, and I know this, right, because I'm constantly like, let me just give you everything that I have. Let me connect you to everyone I know. Let me tell you everything that I know that can help you, because that's what I wanted, right? Very similar to what you said. But I learned to code a while ago. It's been a hot minute. So like back then there wasn't the resources that we have now, right? It was like W3 schools and that was kind of it. I'm going to guess you're in the same timeline because it's about that same mark of what you said. It's around like that 15 years, right? And so do you think, because now there are developers who are younger than us, who are sort of newer in their career, right? Do you think that that sentiment is just developers? Because I honestly feel like when I talk to developers, yes, there are the exceptions, right, that maybe have an ego or they're on a sort of a power trip, and those are the people maybe not helping, right? But I feel like for the most part, developers are like, if you're a dev, I got you. Like, what do you need? I'll drop everything I'm working on to help you. I know I have stuff to do, but like, you're a dev too, so like, let me help you. Do you think this is a developer thing?
Frankly, I'd say yes. I do think so. You know what I enjoy the most? I think that's also why I really enjoy engaging with developers. Is because it's because when you're a developer, it's a type of audience that is very humble. And because, you know, there's so much different frameworks, programming languages, you can't know everything.
Right.
And so you have to be very humble in the way you approach your work. Mm-hmm. And I think that also could be, so humility, and I think that's also this mindset of transparency in building in the open also could be very related, because, you know, there's a strong open source culture. No matter what you're working on right now, you can work in a closed source company. You still have that internally. You still have that mindset and culture somewhere, because At the very beginning, you probably started learning how to code by doing. So it means that you had to read code, and it probably comes from an open source project. And so and you experienced it on your own. You broke the code from open source project, and I think that ultimately it has an impact, on your life, on your work as a developer. No matter where you work now, if it's a closed source company, open source company, and so on. At some point in your career, at some point in your education, you were impacted by that open source mindset, and I think that ultimately that makes you also be transparent and be ready to just help.
I agree. And it was, so I've been saying this for the last, you know, I would say the last 6 weeks. Okay. So it hasn't been a long time, but I went to Commit Your Code, in Dallas. So Danny Thompson put this event on sort of really quickly. ended up being just a beautiful event. Everything that us developers like really want to see coming back after COVID, the authentic developer curated events where it's not these giant sponsorship booths and people aren't trying to push stuff in your face. It's really just developers getting together and learning from each other. It was so beautiful. But I constantly say this, and it's just been so interesting that developers are not antisocial. We are antisocial to the rest of the world, but to each other, we are like, hey, friend, how are you? Like, and we don't even have to be friends, right? Like, we can meet them for the first time and we're like, oh, I know you on Twitter. I know you on LinkedIn. Like, we are instantly best friends. Yeah. Here's how I do this. How do you do this? Like, do you want to go to lunch? Let's go get coffee. Like, it's just this instant click if they know that they are like you. And so do you think that this plays into that?
You know, I'm so biased on this topic because I'm personally, you know, if you, there's probably zero chance you would meet me on a live event. Probably zero chance. It was before the pandemic. My wife and I, we decided to move out from town. We decided to settle here in the countryside, and and I'm great with that. You know, I'm kind of an introvert, but so I'm just right here alone in front of my computer. But this is my small world. This is where I thrive, because I also know that there's a lot of connections and live conversations like the one we're having right now. And so yeah, I'm biased in that. I feel that. Yeah, it's kind of, it's like there's a life on the grid. If you're familiar with Tron, with Ready Player One, it's, you know, this inspired science fiction, and I think there's a lot of true stories if you read science fiction. So yeah, I can't think more in this.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's interesting too, because like you said, it doesn't have to be in person, right? It can be anywhere. Like, you and I were just talking in the pre-show, and we were like, oh, hey, launch week would be great for my clients. Maybe there's things that your clients need that I have. And like, you're like, oh, maybe there's like some, you know, revenue share. And I'm like, no, we just like partner, right? Like, we just help each other. And I think that's what's so beautiful about like the developer ecosystem. And I think it's interesting, and maybe, right? This is why we see sort of the developer relations and some of the other types of functions, because if a developer were to start to have a conversation with a marketer, right? And like, you and I can call ourselves marketers, but at the same time, we are also developers and we understand their ecosystem. But if, say, a traditional marketer comes in and is like, hey, I want to just start talking to you, it's like they can tell. Like, they can just tell that they're not the same, right? They're not the one that's coding. They're not the one that's technical with them. And it's not that they're going to be mean to them, but it'll be like, oh, it's great to meet you, right? And like, turn away and start, whether physically or virtually, right? And start going to the relationships that they do want to thrive for. But it's just been very interesting for me to sort of see it from a business side of how much developers really do want to spend time with their peers. And I think that it's coming back to sort of launch week and the techniques of driving growth, right? It's like, that's where it's at, is like, how can you bring those people together? How can you bring the users together that already love your product and then find those users that are not a part of that circle already and let them build that community with those other developers and tell those stories? So anyways, I feel like you probably have the same sentiment and opinion. So
something weird with our roles is that, you know, we're talking about giving, and on the other end, if you had that business view, how could you possibly justify your work? How could you possibly justify the fact that you engage in communities by giving, and not getting back? And how do you make sure that your other stakeholders, your top management, could possibly accept that? I think that's something that is very specific to this DevTool industry also, is that developers are, so we talked about the specificities of that audience, and something that is very important also is that developers, they share the love. The moment you have one developer that that is on board, that use your product, love it, and use it in production, you know that you have a lifelong customer. You have and that is beyond a lifelong customer. It's an advocate. It's someone that will talk about your product. And the problem is that it takes time, and you won't solve it with quick wins, with ads and so on. You have to bet long term, and that's something that is very specific and very tough to explain in our industry. I have this give mindset. This is something I talked about with a fellow technical marketers very recently. So someone that started in that industry and so he said, hey Flo, how do I engage in community successfully? And I said, okay, first you have to give. Okay, but when do I share my content? No, you don't share your content. First you give. First you give. You give first. You give back. You give more. And you do this repeatedly. And only then, and only the moment you started helping others, that moment you can potentially eventually share your content. But even that is not the rule, right? It's not like, okay, I engaged in three posts, so I have the right to share one blog post. There's no rationale here, there's no ratio here. That's a mindset that is very specific. And I'm glad that we had this conversation, because if we could advocate and if there's one key takeaway to get from that conversation, is that you have to give first, you have to give back, you have to give more, and this is only what matters when you engage with developers. It's to give, it's to be as helpful as possible, and that's the only thing that matters. And when you have that in mind, and if you have also the resources also to play that game, ultimately that pays off.
But yes,
it takes time.
It does take time, and it's really interesting because, like you said, right? It's we're always kind of, well, I mean, obviously the internet and social media and phones and everything has provided us this, like, we need results now type of a, you know, mentality. And I think in this space, it's just not something that is like, yes, you can do different things that are going to drive growth, right? But at the end of the day, exactly what you said is how it operates. I had this, it reminds me, and I need to come back and revive this piece of content, but I had this piece of content I wrote called The Building Trust Model. And it was essentially like three steps, right? So the first step was like, do your research, figure out who that person is. What have they built? What do they do? What do they care about? Like, what do they seem to be proud of, right? And now, honestly, we probably could use ChatGPT or Claude to like go and search this for somebody and maybe get answers even easier. But the first step was research. The second step was provide a value. So for me, that was like, it didn't mean you had to give them something that was a lot of work, right? But like you and I talked about, even network connections, like, hey, you should meet so-and-so, or have you been exposed to this tool? Or would you like to co-create a piece of content, right? Just some form of value that if you did your research right, you know exactly what type of a value they can get if they're on the job market. Can you introduce them to people who are hiring, et cetera, right? Mm. And then the third step was like, you gave that value, you've nurtured that relationship, you can now finally make your ask, right? And so it was a lot of actually give a true piece of value before you even ask for anything in return. And when you do that, right, that true piece of value that was given puts them in that place where they're eager to be like, oh, you need help? How can I help you? Mm-hmm. And so I think that there's a lot of validity to that, to what you're saying, right? And in sort of this give mentality of being able to finally say, hey, would you like to try my product? Or, hey, would you like to check out this piece of content or whatever? Mm. So I think taking that sort of like grain and vein of conversation and bringing that in, how do you think about your work when it relates to that? Because you're also very technical, right? And so you're still building things and bringing things together, but then also driving growth, right? And so I know personally, when it comes to sort of driving growth and building these different, whatever it is that we're building, right? It is often hard to track those types of things. So when you are sort of giving, do you have sort of secrets or behind the scene things that you do to try to associate some of that giving to maybe some of the results that are potentially coming from that? Another loaded question.
Honestly, I don't know if I have the secret sauce here, but at least what I'm trying to do is to first, when you interact with people on communities, I want to make sure that I can measure the fact that the different links I could share, the different resources that I could share, that those are helpful. And beyond the fact that people could reply, okay, thank you. I'd like to have a measurable metric. I think that using a lead manager is at least something that I use, and that could be also really helpful for me to understand. Okay, these resources at Clix, it worked, it was helpful, and I posted it, and it was that. So that's something, that's one thing. Then a second thing also is trying to, when I interact with developers, I will produce content, actually. And so the idea is to, the problem is that when you do this in communities or on socials, it has a short lifespan. So the objective is to convert those small pieces into kind of a evergreen content or repurpose it somehow. So that's also building part number two. So one is tracking with a link manager, and two is trying to have a place somewhere. It doesn't mean that I've already published the blog post or what, but at least I have a place where I store all the different interactions that and all the different content that I created, and once a week, once a month, you know, I go through all these piece of content, those snippets, and try to think, okay, are there any links between all of them, something that I could reuse in a more evergreen content? And so basically this is the, again, there's no secret sauce here. Those are at least the small methods that I'm trying as much as possible to do in order to value that work. Giving. So one is tracking the different resources that I could share, and two is making sure that every piece of content, because it has a very small lifespan, trying to store it somewhere somehow, and making sure that I could reuse it later on in more evergreen content.
I love that. Honestly, like, I don't think that anyone really has a secret sauce. Like, I think as it relates to sort of this work, right, it's like there's a lot of vibes, which is really not great, you know, when it comes to sort of reporting some of this, especially if you're in sort of a developer advocate type of a role, right? I think there are a variety of different ways to actually start to track it. But when we're talking early stage and we're talking dev tools and really the spaces that you and I are driving growth, right? It's very early and we're really trying to expand. I shouldn't say it's always early. You know, you're definitely in different stages and such. But when you're in that stage of trying to create that early audience, right, it really is a lot of, okay, what am I putting out there? What am I getting back? How can I take what I'm getting back and like just sort of funnel that through understanding, are there trends? Are there end results? Does it lead to feedback? If this piece of content landed, like you said, right, sort of those vanity metrics, but vanity metrics that still very much feed into insights. It's like, how many views did I have on that piece of content? Because like even my live stream, right, I can go back and be like, wow, okay, that piece of content, like that guest that came on was like really, really, really fire, right? And not that they're not all fire, but you know, comparing one to another, and being able to sort of see those different statistics back and forth. And that gives you sort of that sentiment of like, okay, I should keep going down that path or keep having that conversation or keep sharing that piece of content. So it's a really interesting sort of game there. The thing that I've really been trying to dive into the most is like figuring out with the developer engagement, right? As developers are engaging with each other, because honestly, like, the thing that has become the most clear to me throughout sort of my developer relations and kind of developer growth type of a career is that like developers opt into wanting to use something because that advocate that you talked about was like, oh my gosh, I love this product or tool. And the dev is like, wait, what? Why do you love it? Tell me about it. Like, I want to know why you think it's great, because we really very much trust the recommendations of our peers, going back to the entire conversation that we've had, right? The essence of the internet. But then from the other side, there's this opportunity to like spark a conversation around that pain point. And that's actually what I've been kind of doubling down on throughout my business is like, can I find these use cases for a product? Within that use case, there are pain points that come with that, right? And so like, let's say for like one of my clients is ArcJet, which is a really cool, and I'm just going to drop it because I'm like, y'all should check it out. It's for modern JS stacks. And it's very much about it's security, but it's for developers. And so it's about putting those bits and pieces in there that are going to ensure you don't have the security issues to begin with. It's like security in that actual code. So one of the use cases that we started to work around was actually an AI endpoint abuse, right? So if someone is coming in, you've created an AI agent, you're kind of opening up your new AI product, right? And the whole world could come in. Obviously, that's not going to happen right away, but you don't know, right? A bunch of people can come in and maybe they're not valid users and they're hitting that endpoint and they're starting to actually hike up that infrastructure cost. They're hiking up anything that you have for your actual cost behind the scenes. And so I've started to pivot to, can I find conversations that are around this pain point, like spam abuse or like form abuse? Someone just tweeted about form abuse and I was like, hey, you should check out ArcJet. And I actually think that has landed to be the most lucrative path to trying to deliver that content. But still, like, how do you track that, right? You're in a conversation, you're in this piece of engagement. And really, like at the end of the day, we're still just trying to have these meaningful conversations inside of community. And it's like you said, it's a long game. So anyways, I don't know where I was going with that, but I thought that you'd have some opinions and thoughts on that, because I think it's been an interesting angle for sure.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so we are nearing our time. The question that I like to ask at the end, and you know, we got pretty deep into some really fun work that I don't always get to talk about, but I like to ask developers or guests how they solve their problems, right? Like, we have a variety of different things that we do when we get stuck on something, whether we're writing code, whether we're planning it, whether we're whatever it is that we're doing. And everyone sort of has a different answer. So I would love to hear, when you're stuck on something, technically, what is your path to get unstuck?
Honestly, right now, I'm really excited by the new wave of AI products. And so basically the moment I'm stuck into something, I'm just trying to find if there's an AI way to help me solve this. And again, it's trying to, it's probably not the most another way to solve it, but at least, you know, it helps me go fast. And and it helps me quickly identify what could go possibly go wrong. And at least with that first insight, then I could start digging a lot more into the code, to trying to understand what could possibly go wrong and how I could solve the problem.
Yeah. I love that. I hear that answer a lot, honestly. And I think it's good though, because I think it allows and sort of expands the understanding for all of us that we all are kind of using AI in some way, shape, or form to really help us get unstuck. So when you do that, what are sort of your tools of choice, or are there different tools that you use for different reasons?
Well, nothing very, no magic here. Honestly, I'm a big user of Raycast. I'm a pro user, and what's really interesting is that you can play around with different models, and so I really like it. And yep. Then I'm a Zed user, that's my type of code editor, and so I rely on this. So most of the time, I have my dual screen setup with. One side my code editor and the other side an AI chat with Raycast, and I'm mixing between those two in order to trying to solve the different problems that I could have.
I love that. What's your IDE of choice?
Honestly, Zed works great, and I love it. Because I experimented with, I had a long experience with VS Code. I experimented with Cursor. I also enjoy beautifully crafted products. So when I build my stack, I pick a product that helped me do my stuff. Mm-hmm. But I'm also trying to find a product that inspired you. That inspire me doing in building better products too. And so personally, I'm quite happy with Zed. I love the polished interface .
Well, that is good to know. I have never heard of Zed, so apparently I'm like under a rock when it comes to Zed. So I'm going to have to check that out. But see, like a developer, right? I'm like, okay, I got to go check out Raycast. I know what Raycast is, but I need to go think about Raycast more. And what is Zed, right? So like this conversation alone is like left me to think about it. And I think that's why I like to ask this question at the end is like either we're learning some tips or tricks about how developers are asking their peers or finding different techniques. One person was like, oh yeah, I talked to Claude like audibly while I'm on a walk. And I'm like, how smart is that? And like he has Claude sort of interview him so that he can get some results at the end of it, right? Or it's like the AI tool answer, which I think is always really beautiful too. We're definitely finding and evolving in how we're like solving our problems. And I think it's just always interesting to hear how other people are doing the same. Mm-hmm. This has been a lovely conversation. Our pre-conversation was great. It's always great to chat with you. I'm excited about things we get to partner on throughout the rest of the year. So if anyone is listening and they need DevTool growth, you've got the two of many amazing developer growth people in one single place. So on that note, where can folks find you if they want to find you and reach out to you?
So probably the easiest way would be to reach out on either LinkedIn or Twitter X. And also you could join my community. It's a Slack group, nice people. So still 2,000 people, but still quite small and very friendly. So it's marketing2.dev. Join anytime and say hi.
Yes, you should. It's an absolutely amazing community. I am in there, not as active as I probably should be, but definitely an amazing community. And also launchweek.dev. Go check that out.
Launchweek.dev, definitely.
Yeah. Yes. I love it. Okay. Well, this has been such a fabulous conversation. I hope that folks reach out to you. You are an amazing human. And I hope that everyone has, a fabulous rest of their new year, but also day.
Absolutely. Enjoy your day. And thank you so much for the conversation, Tessa.
Of course, absolutely.